My name is Luke.
My name is Amber.
My name is Tony.
You are listening to Check It In, Check It Out.
Radio show for kids.
All about the Elgin County Library.
We hope you enjoy the show.
I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check
it out. Thank you, Luke, Amber, and Tony, for your introduction to tonight's show. I'm Julie Berry, host of Check It In, Check It Out, right here at 105.9 DeBrigg. This week, we are going fishing. Tonight's going to be one long fish story, or I should say, lots and lots of different fish stories. The kids in Tina Vuma's grade 3 and 4 class at Emmanuel Christian School have a few tales to tell about their experiences at the end of a fishing pole.
Once I was fishing with my Uncle Chris somewhere, and he was casting my line, and it got stuck in a tree.
Then I went fishing with my friend. He got a fish, but then we couldn't reel it in because the line was stuck under a rock, and I dove in to catch it.
We were at this one place called Wildwood, and it was funny because my sister Catherine and I were fishing, and she didn't notice she had caught a fish and when she was flinging it back and forth on the water. So the fish slapped the water a couple of times, and then we finally told her that she had a fish. She was surprised.
Once we were fishing, and I caught a fish, and it got in the eye, and then when we were trying to get it out, it cut the eye.
Once me and my dad caught a few catfish, and then we were going to put them back in, and then some kids wanted them, but we weren't sure how to get it off. So they asked someone, and he actually took it off because they stung, and he really noticed.
I caught a fish, but it went off my line, and my brother Austin, I think he broke his fishing rod. Then he caught a fish with his hands.
My mom told me this one story. When my Uncle Nathan was a kid, he went fishing off the boat docks, and my Uncle Nathan caught a sheephead, and he was in his drawer because my papa thought he couldn't catch anything, and the drawer rolled right off of the dock, and the wheel of the drawer got caught right off.
Once when we were fishing, I don't know where it was, but my sister and my uncle were the only ones who caught anything. And my sister, she was using my papa's fishing rod. She got it caught in the bottom of the lake, and she broke it. All I ever caught was seaweed.
Once I caught a dogfish, I named it Doo-Doo. I don't know why, though. And when we had to let it go, I started to cry because I didn't want to.
One day when I was at Lake Rideau, there was this 1-pound bass I keep on seeing every day at the dock. And on the last dock, I finally catch the fish, and I've caught 24 catfish in my whole life.
The next story is not from a book. It's from my own memory of something that happened long ago in a place very near to here. It's a fish story that I love to tell. As a little girl, oh, so many years ago, I used to live in Toronto, but every summer I would come down and stay with my grandparents on their farm near Port Stanley. Their farm was near Kettle Creek, and my grandfather and I would often go fishing early in the morning. He had an old rowboat that he left tied up beside the creek there, and we would go down there with our pail and our fishing gear, and we would fish for an hour or so. Then we'd come back up, and my grandpa would have to get to work on all the farm chores. Well, one morning, very early in the summer, my grandfather caught a catfish. And normally he would just take the hook out and just gently put the fish back into the creek. It was Kettle Creek. And this particular day, though, was different because he took that fish out and he took it and he looked at it. He picked it up in both hands and he looked into its eyes. And he had a kind of a strange look on his face, my grandfather, and he took that fish and put it into the pail and filled it full of creek water, and we took that fish home with us. And my grandfather wasn't much of a talker, so it really didn't matter how many times I said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, why are you getting that fish? Why are we bringing him home?" He just would nod and smile and say, "Oh, you'll find out." That day, he put the fish in the rain barrel, which was just beside the house and just happened to be underneath my bedroom window. And the rain barrel was full of water. The next morning, I heard a little bit of noise outside. My grandfather had taken that fish out, and he'd laid that fish down on the grass beside the rain barrel, and he'd gotten down on his hands and knees, and he was looking right into the fish's face, and he was going, "Come on, come on, come on, come here. You can do it. Come on." That seemed awfully strange to me. And then Bori put the fish back into the barrel. He took and tipped the barrel over and emptied half the water out of the barrel, so it was only half full. And then he put the fish back in there. Of course, I was very curious about all that. And at breakfast time, I said, "Grandpa, why did you dump the water out of the rain barrel like that? And what's going on with the fish?" My grandfather just smiled and said, "Oh, you'll find out." And, of course, I knew I would eventually, but I was so impatient, I just wanted to know. The very next morning, again, early in the morning, I heard that noise out underneath my window and looked out the window, and sure enough, my grandfather had that catfish back on the grass. He was back down in front of it going, "Come on, you can do it. Come here, come here." And he was putting his fingers down in front of it, like he was trying to coax it to come closer. And then, before he put it back in the barrel, he tipped the barrel over and dumped out a whole bunch more water, and then he put the fish back in. Well, I knew there was no point in asking him this time. I just thought I'd just keep watching, and eventually I would find out what was going on. One thing, though, that happened every summer, I would go away to camp for 1 week, and then I would come back after a week and stay for the rest of the summer at my grandma and grandpa's house. Off I went. I forgot all about the fish, had a great time. Got dropped off at the very end of the lane. It was a very long lane, so after camp, I got dropped off there at the end of the lane, and my grandfather was walking out to meet me. And I happened to notice that way at the other end, I could see him walking, and I could see there was something beside him. And I was looking, and I was looking, and they got closer and closer, and I realized that it was the fish beside him, and the fish was hopping along beside him, and my grandfather was holding its little fin like you would hold the hand of a child. And I was astounded, but it turns out my grandfather had taught this little fish to live out of water and made a real pet out of her. From that time on, we took that little fish fishing with us. My grandpa made a nice little fishing pole for her and a little hat so she wouldn't get sunburned on her head. And she would go fishing with us every day. She would sit on the little bench of the rowboat, and we would all fish, and then we would head on back up to the farm for the day. This went on for quite a while, and then near the end of the summer, we had a little mishap. We went down fishing, and our little fish had never caught a fish, but this day, she got a bite, and the fish was tugging on the line, and she accidentally fell overboard. Well, we were just so upset, because after all, this fish was now a fish that lived in the air, and it wouldn't know how to swim, wouldn't know how to get along underwater. So, of course, my grandfather jumped in overboard to save it. It took him a long time to find that fish, because you know the water in Kettle Creek is so darn muddy, it's hard to see down there. But finally, on his third time down, he found the little fish, and he grabbed her and pulled her up, and she was next thing to drown. So we were very worried, and my grandfather took her to the side of the shore of the creek and put her down and gave her artificial respiration, and was so relieved when she started to cough, and then she breathed, and she sat up, and she was okay. So we were so thankful. That episode got us to thinking. We were wondering, you know, what's going to happen at the end of August when I had to go back to Toronto, go back to school, and then the fish, it would be winter. How was she going to get along through all that cold winter weather? We decided that we had to do something. So here's what my grandfather did. The first night of his plan was he put the little fish back into the rain barrel with just an inch of water so that she could breathe the air, but she was getting used to the water. The next night, He put her in with a little more water, so she still could breathe the air, but she had a little more water. And every night for about a week, he increased the amount of water. And you know, at the end of the week, that fish was right back to where she could swim and breathe underneath the water. Well, we took her down to the creek the last day of the summer. The next day I was going to have to go back home to Toronto. We took her down to the creek and we put her back right into the creek. We just let her jump right in there and that was it for her, and she was gone. And I never saw her again, but if you ever go fishing down there in Kettle Creek and you happen to catch a great big catfish, take a good look into its eyes, because you know, you might see that look that tells you that this is a special fish. Now that's a story and a half. I have to admit, some of the story isn't exactly the way it happened. So, you've been fishing all morning, you've caught a few fish, and you want to have fish for supper. Need a good fish recipe? Try your nearest library. They have recipe books for every kind of cooking you might want to try. And there are plenty of good cookbooks written just for kids. All you need is a library card. It's time to say goodbye to all you fishermen, fisherwomen, and fisher kids. Here's a riddle to exercise your funny bone. What's the difference between a fish and a piano? You can't tune a piano. Thanks to the kids in Miss Tina Buma's grade 3-4 class at Emmanuel Christian School in Elmer, Ontario, for their fish stories. Check It In, Check It Out would not be possible without the generous support of the following:
the Elgin County Library
and the Mennonite Community Services of Elmer, Ontario.
Thanks to Mr. Hudson's class at Straffordville Public School for those credits. You can tune in to Check It In, Check It Out on Mondays and Wednesdays at 5. I'm Julie Barry. Thanks for listening.
Guten Tag and welcome to Check It In, Check It Out, a radio program for Kenya by the Elgin County Library. Ich hoop ihr habt das Programm geglaubt. Ich bin Mary Ham und ich schaue bei der Elmer Library. Wir haben eine Library in Straffordville, Springfield und Port Burwell. Und ihr könnt die Kräfte, die ihr wollt, fahren. Die sind alle neu auf. Die öffnen Stunden sind an der Library deren zu sein. Ihr könnt auch fahren, denn das Fahrnummer ist 519-631-1460, Extension 109, wenn ihr noch mehr Informationen fehlt. Bitte kommt an und seid, was wir haben in unseren Libraries zum Jünt und Jüne Familie mit Halten.
Out the door we danced and sang, the whole library rang. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. I'm going